Church is fun, man. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 37. In verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin, to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Urijah, the son of Shelemiah," something like that, "the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans.' And then said Jeremiah, 'It is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans.' But he hearkened not to him. So Urijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan, the scribe. For they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, 'Is there any word from the Lord?' And Jeremiah said, 'There is. For,' said he, 'thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon.' Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, What have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people that ye have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, The king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? Therefore hear now, I pray thee, O my lord the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there.' Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street until all the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord, for this week that we've had here, Lord, and for gathering in your house, Lord. And we humbly ask you tonight, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, that you give us direction, Lord, that you give us exactly what you want us to get out of this meeting tonight, Lord. I pray that you help me tonight as I bring the message, Lord, that you help me to preach us exactly what you want me to say, preach anything that you don't want me to preach, Lord. I pray that you clear my minds of the things of this world, Lord, our minds, Lord, that we just come and we might be able to get something from your word, from this message, Lord, that we go home not the same way we came in, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this passage here, what struck me is the verse here where it says, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is," in verse 17. Is there any word from the Lord? You know, if you read the book, if you read what's going on here, Jeremiah wasn't a popular preacher. You know, he didn't have a popular message.
That's right.
I mean, when he showed up, he wasn't received very well. And the reason why is because he was giving the word of the Lord. And in this time, it wasn't good news for the people. It wasn't what they wanted to hear. It wasn't something that brought happiness. It was something pretty bad. But you know, it doesn't matter if they were upset with the messenger. It didn't matter to Jeremiah if they didn't like the message. You know what? They knew that Jeremiah knew God. Don't you find that interesting that whenever he's there and he's in prison and he's caught, and then the king calls for him again? You know, to me, this is incredible, because Jeremiah, once you're in prison, you know, a whole bunch of things change. Yeah. You know, a whole bunch of things go through your mind. You know, I mentioned this week that you know, I've been in prison. I've been in jail. You know, I've told you that this week, and in jail for preaching the gospel, and a lot of things go through your mind. I mean, I told you I was there 5 minutes. It probably was a little bit longer than 5 minutes, but it wasn't very long. I know I wasn't there an hour, but a lot of things go through your mind. You know, I wish I could say that, you know what, when I was in prison, I keep saying prison, it wasn't that bad. It had bars, but it wasn't that bad. When I was in jail, when I was in the holding cell, you know, I wish I could say, man, I was just, you know, telling the Lord, I'm just going to preach as soon as I got out. Just let me out, Lord. I'm going to preach right outside their door. I wish I could say that. Man, I was probably thinking a whole bunch of stuff I could say just to get out of there as quick as I could. But you know what? Jeremiah, when he comes out, he doesn't change his message. It could have helped him. It could have helped him get out of there. I mean, look how he ends up. He says that they put him back in jail in 21, and it says, and they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street, until all the bread in the city were spent. I don't think it was high quality stuff he was eating. You know, I don't think it was good meals that he was going to be looking forward to. I mean, he was in a dungeon. He wasn't in a holding cell like I was in. I mean, he was in a bad spot. But yet when he came out of there, his message didn't change. It was the same message. You know, there's a whole bunch of people. The world is just full of deception. Things that they just lie to us, and we don't want to open our eyes. We think that if we don't look at these things, if we don't confront these things, if we don't address certain sins, if we don't confront these things, it's going to all be okay. Well, you know, it's not going to be okay. You know, I laugh because when I'm there in Mexico, either you walk or you hop on a bus, but there's people, you know, all over the place in Mexico where we live. And you know, the funny thing about it, I could be driving in my car and, you know, forget jaywalking, man. I mean, people cross anywhere. You know, they don't go to the corner like nice orderly like we do up here. We go cross at the corner and we push a little button and it turns, you know, change the light so you can cross the street. Man, there's just people just, I mean, all of a sudden somebody can just walk right out. But you know what's, to me it's hilarious? I'm coming down the road and somebody's walking and they see me. I mean, we make eye contact. And then they turn around and they pretend like I'm not even there. Like, you know, if they pretend I'm not there, they're not going to get run over. Well, that's pretty dangerous. I mean, the good thing is I'm looking out, but some people don't pay attention. They're going to get run over one of these days. But they just walk out to the street and they say, you know what? They're not there. That big truck's not there. It's just not there. There's no problem. You're going to get run over. You're going to get squashed. Isn't that right? But we don't think that way sometimes. You know, I say we still got to keep preaching the same message, even if it's unpleasant. Amen. Even if at first it bugs us and it bothers us, because the preacher is still trying to get something through us. I mean, look at the prophecy. He says in verse 17, he says, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of King Babylon. Look, the prophecy wasn't a nice prophecy.
That's right.
You know, it's amazing to me how many times it's happened to me personally. I'm dealing with somebody and I'm telling them, look, if you keep following this road, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and they think I'm just crazy.
Yeah.
You're thinking too much about that. No, it's not, it can't happen to me. And you know what happens? I get a phone call and say, hey, I need some help.
Yes.
Guess what happened? I remember one time with a street preacher down there in Mexico. And this street preacher, you know, I mean, praise God, he's serving God and he's still preaching on the streets. But there was a time where he had a girlfriend. And this girlfriend, they were getting in situations, in dangerous situations. You know, the girl was saved. He was saved. Everything is fine, right? Because they're both saved. Well, hormones don't necessarily, you know, pay attention to your spiritual side. You know, those things are still going to be happening inside. And I tell the guy, I say, you don't need to be sitting in your car, because one time, I don't know why or what, but I happened to pass by his house or pass by somewhere and they were sitting in the car at night. Underneath a lamppost. A lamppost had to be, the light wasn't working, but they were underneath the lamppost. But they're sitting in their car, and I said, you know what? That's dangerous. You don't need to be doing that. No, but we're just talking. Yeah. This is going to happen. This could happen. This could happen. No, you don't understand. We're just friends. Well, guess what? What I said happened. He shows up, knocked on my door, crying in tears because his ministry is ministry. And you know, he never would have told me. Never. I don't think he ever would have said a thing. But see, the girl now was a little worried. He just could have been a daddy. So now, is it? Look, it's going to come out. I got to tell my pastor. I got to tell him. But see, he probably never would have said anything. I mean, praise the Lord, you know, nothing happened more than that. But he broke up with a girl. It just didn't work out. He. But sometimes it don't happen that way. You know, it was unpleasant. It wasn't a popular message. Look what it says over there in verse 7. Of this same chapter, it says, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me. Behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. You know what's going to happen? Well, you know what happened here? Egypt forsook them. They said they were going to do something, they promised some things, and they didn't follow through. And Jeremiah told them, look, this ain't going to work out like you think it's going to work out. You're not seeing what I see. I know God. He already told me this. Man, we got this book in our hands.
Amen.
We know God. We can't be ignorant. We can't be just saying, you know what? It's just not going to happen this way again. It's going to happen that way. The possibilities of you getting in trouble, doing and walking contrary to God, the dangers are there.
That's right.
In verse 8, it says, and the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Oh, you know, they thought they were in good shape because, see, the Chaldeans were gone. But he says they're going to come back. They're going to come back and they're going to burn it. How many times have that happened to people? They play with sin, and it's like, I didn't get touched by, I didn't get any consequence, so I'm going to play with it again. And I'm going to play with it again. And I'm going to play with it again. Hey, just because you escaped, just because it looks good and nothing happened, doesn't mean you can't get burned.
That's
right. Jeremiah says the Chaldeans are going to come back and they're going to burn it all up. Just wait. Look what it says in verse 9. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. You know, we have to stop, you have to stop, we have to stop deceiving ourselves. Trouble is going to follow you unless you get right with God. And I know trouble happens to all of us, even godly people. But when you get in trouble and trouble happens and you're walking with God, it feels a whole lot better.
Amen.
Than when you're living in sin.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, he didn't have a popular message, but listen to the plea. In verse 17 it says, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah says, there is. There is. I mean, there's hope. I mean, here, God does speak.
Yeah.
Zedekiah, he's one of the last kings there of Judah. Not a very good man, pretty weak. But he comes to him and he says, man, is there any word from God? I know you know him. And he says, yeah, this is going to happen. You know, a king has counselors, advisors, has so many people around him. You know, everybody made fun of President Bush, right? They still do, right? They think he was just a big dummy. You know, President Bush isn't a big dummy. He really isn't. You know, it's like when you those of you that know who Lester Roloff is. Lester Roloff always played himself as a dummy, like he's just a backhill country boy. He was a smart man. President Bush wasn't a dumb man. He was a pretty smart guy. And you know what made him smart? He had people around him that were smarter than him. It's a good idea to have people who know more than you around you. Bush's strength was that he could make decisions. He didn't care who said what, but he needed information. Well, let me tell you, this king had people around him. He had advisors. He had counselors. He had everything. And you know who he went to? Jeremiah. Isn't that what happens nowadays? I mean, when you want to go your way, when you want to do what you want to do, you don't want to hear the pastors. No, I'm fine. No, you know, you're just wrong. You're just too hard. You're just too this. I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. But when you get in trouble, when you need something, when you need to know how you need to get out of this thing, who do you call up?
That's right.
Don't you call up spiritual people? You got spiritual parents, spiritual pastors, spiritual men and women in the church. Those are the people you look for. And look, I'm not telling you that's a bad idea. That is a good idea. You know, you're in trouble. You need to go to those people. And I guarantee you those people, even though they might be a little frustrated inside, they're glad you came to them. Let's take care of this. Let's work through this. God does restore.
Yes.
It's incredible. God does this thing.
That's right.
Remember when David was running from Saul? And he said, man, I gotta run from Saul, because if I don't get away, If I don't leave, he's going to keep following me. And it worked. He went to the Philistines and he stopped following them. Look, Let me tell you, just because you leave, just because you go find shelter somewhere else and things look okay, it's not okay. You don't need to be leaving God. You need to come back to God. But you know, this right here is incredible that he goes to Jeremiah. Let me tell you something. When my father, I talked to my dad the day before he died. He called me here at the church. We were having mission conference, and he called me here. My dad died on July 31st. And he called me up on the 30th. We were right here at church, and we got done with our meeting. It was during mission conference. And my father calls me up, and I hear his voice very differently. And he's talking to me about, you know, he needs to talk to me. Son, when are you coming? And I say, I'll be there. I got to preach one more time tomorrow night, my last slot. I preach tomorrow. I'll hop in the car directly from here, go straight to the valley. I'll be there in 4 hours. I'll be there around midnight. What's going on? He goes, no, I just need to talk to you. So I felt led at that moment to give him the gospel. So I was talking to him. I tell him the gospel. And he says, well, that's what I want to talk to you about. I said, Dad, you don't have to wait for me to get there. Jesus Christ can save your soul. You just got to repent. Repent of your sins. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Ask him to save you, and he'll save you.
Amen.
That's what I want to talk to you about, son. See, my dad didn't call the priest when he felt he was dying. My dad called me. You know, after my dad died, and I don't know what he did. I don't know what exactly happened. I never got to talk to him. Then the very next day, my sister calls me and says, your dad passed away. So I don't know how it ended. But you know, after I got back, I went home and I was looking through some stuff. And I found a Bible that I'd given him, a Spanish Bible that I'd given him. And I opened up that Bible. You know what I found in there? I found this little track that we pass out. You know what this track has? This track has our phone number. Well, it used to. It'd be done no more. The other one did. The other one had our phone number on there. I mean, that was before we were all carrying around cell phones, you know? He had the phone number of the church was on there. He called this place, and he was looking for me. So I could see my dad sitting there, and this is a great track. It's an awesome track. You don't know how to explain somebody how to get saved? You're maybe a young Christian or a little timid? Just read that to them. Just memorize those steps. Just memorize those verses. You can get somebody saved just by telling them this track.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a good track. Did my dad die saved? I don't know. I got that hope.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
But you know what? Even if it didn't work out that way, God's just.
Yeah. Amen.
God's merciful. Let me tell you, the world, cold Christians, lukewarm Christians, everybody, when they want something, when they want to know what God knows, they go to people who are close to God. You need to be that person who's close to God. You might be the only person that can help someone in your family, your friends, your coworkers. You might be the only one. Jeremiah was that man. He stood there and he gave God's word, and he didn't back down. And the king called for him. You know, folks do get mad. They do get upset at the preacher because he preaches hard. But they always come back. You know, is there any word from the Lord? I think there is. You know, is there any hope for our marriages? Seriously, God doesn't have the answer for our marriages? Or are we just going to give up and say, man, you know, 50% of marriage is just going to end. That's just the way it is. That's just the time we live in. God doesn't have a word. God doesn't know. No, I think there is a word. I think there is answers. And I think if we just learn to apply some Bible principles in our marriages, they can be sweeter.
Amen.
And listen to me. Look, I know there's disaster everywhere. I know people have been hurt. And I'm not trying. You're right with God. You've confessed it. You've gotten right. Praise God. But Jeremiah wasn't that way. Preachers can't be that way. They gotta address certain things.
Yeah.
If somebody gets upset, man, don't get mad. We got to address it. Why? Because there's other people behind us. There's other people that need to know, look, these are the dangers, these are the pitfalls, these things could happen. I mean, does God have any word for us, for our children who are hurting? You know, children hurt. And most of the times, or a lot of the times, they hurt because of our decisions, our things that we've done.
That's right.
I think God has a word for those kids. People are making bad decisions. I mean, does God have a word for the church? Does God have answers for us?
Yeah.
I think we can say like Jeremiah, there is. There is hope. There is answers. There is restoration. There is... God does want to tell us how to get our life right.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
You know, when I think about the word, also, God does have a word for us. And I know I've talked about this week, about separation. But you know, we can't talk about it enough. We need to be separate. You know, God in 2 Chronicles, if you want to go there, 2 Chronicles chapter 9. I'm sorry, 19. Yeah, 19. Look what it says there in 19:2. Look at the rebuke that God gives Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. Look what it says here. It says, and Jehu the son of Hanani the seer went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. You know, not everybody is on the same page as you.
Yeah, that's right.
Not everybody wants the best for you. Man, let me just tell you, you can't live. We can't expect to live spiritual, more spiritual in this world if we surround ourselves with worldly people, with unsaved people. Look, it's impossible not to have unsaved people around us because we got to get them saved. I don't think God's trying to tell us that. But if those folks are your best friends, the people you hang out with, the people you live with, it's going to get harder. You might say, no, right now, man, I'm just strong. I'm strong. I'm living for the Lord. Watch out. He comes there and he says, how can you help these people that hate God?
That's right.
Look what it says over here in verse 3. Nevertheless, I love this part. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Even though he was helping the wrong people and loving the wrong people, He said, you know what? You got some good qualities about you. There's some things in there. You're seeking God, and that's good. But we got to watch out. You know, in the times of Ezra, Israel's adversaries, they came, and in Ezra 4:3, it says that they wanted to come and they wanted to help reconstruct the temple. Man, have you thought about that? They were lifting up, they were building the temple again for God. But this time they had so many things opposing them. It wasn't like the first time. This was a little bit different. And there were people wanting to help them. And you know what it says there in Ezra 4:3? It says, ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord of God of Israel. It's something between you and God. That's how we build our house. Between us and God. We need that relationship. But you know what? When I think about separation, I want to get just a little bit more personal. And you know, you might, I really don't want anybody to get hurt, but I need to say a couple of things because I think it is important. Let me just find my place again. I think it is important, but when we talk about separation, I think you need to look at it personally. You know, your pastors should, and they have every right to tell you how to live. They should be telling you. They should be jumping around, yelling at you. They should be trying to make us understand that there's problems right around the corner. They have that right. Don't think you're coming in here and you're saying, man, he can't be telling me what to do. God tells him he can. You know, our young people, let me tell you something, young people. Your pastors have the right to tell you who to date. Look, I'm not saying naming. I'm not saying they're going to beat you. Okay, Betty, you go with Johnny. I'm not saying that. All right? Just hear me out. When I say that they have that authority, they have that right to tell you who to date, I'm just talking about what character you should be looking for. What kind of person you should be looking for. That they have that right, and you need to listen. You need to talk to your parents. You need to talk to your pastors. You need to talk to other people and find out the whole thing. Yes. Second opinions are good, but go to them that are spiritual. Amen. They have that right. I know. Maybe you don't agree with me, and that's okay. You don't have to agree with me. They didn't agree with Jeremiah and I either. But it didn't make it not so. It happened exactly the way. 70 years in captivity. Man, that's a long time. 70 years, a long time. And it happened exactly the way God said it was going to happen. You know, we don't need to deceive ourselves. They have that right. They have that authority. Of God. We're just talking about standards. That's all we're talking about. And you say, no, just not in church. They can't tell me. Come on. Do you have a car? Do you drive on the streets of San Antonio? I mean, we have standards out there, don't we? Those lights on the corners aren't just pretty decorations. They're there for a reason, to protect you.
That's right.
You know why God put these people are in power to in the city to help you. That's why they have speed limits. And we got to obey the speed limits. If it says 55, there's a reason for it says 55. You understand? We can't just go out and say, okay, well, you know what? I mean, what happens if the government would say that? Okay, we're just going to turn off all the lights, no more stoplights, no more stop signs. We're just all going to go out and drive, and we're just going to have liberty. Are you serious? Liberty? You know why? And even though I'm tempted, and I said this the other day about, you know, getting on and merging onto 410 from I-10, I always have that temptation of going around and going all the way to the front. Right? And cutting in. Because I've seen people do it. I know it can be done. But you know why I don't do it? Because Albert might be right there on that corner. And he's going to give me a ticket. And that ticket is going to hurt. Man, standards are good. It keeps us in line.
That's right.
So we don't get hurt. We can't just go and say, well, you know, you drive the way you want to drive. I'll drive the way I want to drive. And, you know, we all have liberty. No, we don't all have liberty. You know, not everything will edify you. You have to understand this. You know, we can't keep deceiving ourselves because the trouble's not going to go away. We're going to have this trouble. We're going to have these problems. You know? I think the pastors, and they do preach on it. I know when I was here, they preached on it. I hope they continue to preach on all these things. I mean, have you read the dress code out there? That they have that piece of paper out there with the dress code? You really ought to look at it.
Amen. That's right.
Some of you really need to look at it. I mean, we need to be told how to dress. Because the world's telling us how to dress. And they're saying, you need to dress like this. And you go, oh, that's pretty. But see, God's saying, no. You need to be modest. You know, I think pastors have the authority and the right to tell you young boys to cut your hair. Man, they did it to me. I'm not foreign to this. You know, I got saved coming to church, man, and Samson had nothing on me. Whew. You know? And they let me go. I mean, new Christian, man, you know, we don't want to run them off right away. And then one day I just come in, shake hands with Brother Lindell. And Brother Lindell tells me, he just looks at me, didn't he tell me hi? He just says, cut your hair, you look like a girl. That was his salutation. Brotherly love. I mean, man, you know, it looked like a girl. What's going on?
A homely girl.
A homely girl. See, he was nice. He didn't say homely back then. So he didn't say everything on his mind. But you know what? That was good. You know, a lot of feelings, you know, went through my mind at that time. Yeah, upset. Oh, yeah. But then, I mean, I just came to, man, look, he's the pastor. What am I going to do? I like the church. What? I have friends here now. You know? My girlfriend goes here. Man, they have the authority to do that. They really do. And I think they need to do that. Dress code, dating. You know, they have some ideas on how to date. If you ask me, I say, go out in a group.
Yeah.
Go out in a group, man. Don't stay out too late.
Yeah.
No, but I want to talk to them. I want to talk to them, you know, and more personally. Invite them to your house with your parents there.
Yeah.
Not a problem. Ask your dad to buy a rocking chair and, sit outside on the porch. Not a problem. No, I don't want to be at that. Well, then you don't really want to talk to him, do you?
Yeah.
What's going on? Do you want to talk? All I'm saying is they have that right. They have some, maybe you might think, well, okay, they have some really outdated, ideas on dating, and maybe they do. I don't know. But you got to obey your pastors. I mean, on raising kids, you gotta listen to them. If they open up the Bible and they're teaching you out of the Bible, and it doesn't say every single thing. I don't like people like that. They say, well, it doesn't say that in there. Well, no, but we're opening it up and trying to make sense. We're just trying to make sense of what God wants us to know about this. We're just trying to reason this thing out. You need to come and listen attentively to what they're trying to teach you, because there are good teachings in there. You know, when I had my daughter, man, the idea of spanking, I mean, I could spank Bill's kids. That's not a problem. That's not a problem, man. I could spank your kids. Not a problem. But my little girl, oh, how can I spank her? She's so cute. Yeah, about 3 or 4 months, she was real cute. And right around 5, 6 months, something started happening. Start getting a little rebellious, what's going on there? And I'm talking, hey, man, I'm not talking about beatings, and I'm not going to go through all the whole thing. You want to listen, raising kids, listen to the 8-message series that Bill preached. It's real good.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
You don't have to agree with everything, but just meditate on it, and maybe God will give you a little understanding.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know what? I found out when Lauren was about 5 or 6 months, I understood baby talk. I can understand it. It's incredible. Because when my daughter was about 5 or 6 months, and right around there, I think we started, spanking. And I'm not talking about getting out the... I mean, we didn't do any of that. Just a little wooden spoon and a little pop in the leg. Get her attention. Come on. But I found out I understood baby talk. Because went down and put my daughter down, and she's already been fed. She had a dry diaper on. She had clean sheets. I mean, there was nothing. I mean, I looked around. There wasn't a rock under her mattress. There wasn't a spider there. I mean, nothing. But she was just, you know how they get. And I'm looking at her and I'm saying, Lauren, what's the problem? And that baby talk, I translated it. You know what she was saying? I need a spanking, Daddy. That's what she was saying. It was incredible. I said, what was that, Lauren? I need a spanking, please. And so I gave her a little swat. And you know what that caused? A real loud scream. And then you know what happened a few seconds later? Out for the night. Incredible. That's what she needed. Listen to me. Kids are rebellious. Kids are, they get to that point. We're not talking about mistreating our children.
That's right.
We're not talking about, hurting our children.
Amen.
We're just talking about biblical discipline.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
And you know what I liked about the series, about Bill's series, is that he said, I did a lot of things wrong. You know, he did a lot of things wrong. I mean, I feel bad for their kids, but at least you don't have to go through the same things.
That's right.
He said, well, I've already come. You know, my kids are all grown, and I've figured out some things. Thank you, Bill. Hey, you're figuring out. And sorry, kids, but at least your dad figured out some things for us.
Praise the Lord.
Man, we have to consider that. I mean, It is personal. You have to understand that God has a word, a personal word for you.
Yes. Yes.
And the way He gives it to you is through the pastors.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to give you guys a relief tonight. Because I know some of you, and some of you kids are still thinking about it. Some of you young boys. Brother Lindo has the right to tell me to cut my hair? I don't think the Bible says cut. No, that can't happen. No. But the Bible does say that. Do you know that the Bible says that they can tell you exactly how short to cut your hair? I mean, almost to a T, they can tell you how short to cut the hair. Did you know there's a verse that says that? You know there's a verse that says exactly how you should dress to a T. Some of you are not thinking about that verse, right? You're thinking, where'd that verse? What kind of version did that boy have? Let me show you the verse. It's found It's found here in Hebrews chapter 13. And you underline it. In verse 17. It says, "Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves." You know what that's telling you? If they tell you to cut your hair, you have to obey them. Because they got rule over you.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? That's what the Bible says. I don't say that. And let me tell you, I don't think our pastors want us to be walking around, I mean truly like if we were Amish.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's what it's about. But I think they just want to help you out a little bit.
Amen.
You know, just look at the pictures of some of our pastors when they were young. It's funny, man. You see Brent before he got saved, you know, I mean, a big old afro. And I mean, they went through it. They know the rebellious side, too. They know all this. I went through it. It's just a waste of time.
That's right.
There's a whole bunch of things. It's just a waste of time. Why do it? Why go there? Just avoid it. So your pastors tell you, don't do this, dress this way, cut your hair, whatever they tell you, obey them. I mean, are they your pastors or not?
Amen.
If they're not your pastors, you better find one.
Amen.
But if they're your pastors, then God has a word for you. And the word is, obey them to have authority. Submit yourselves to them. I mean, that's what God says. Another thing. How about the doctrine that we have? You know, God has a word for that too. For us. You know, it says over there in Proverbs 35, chapter 30, verse 5. It says, every word of God is pure.
Amen.
He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible is 100% pure.
Amen.
It's 100%. Otherwise, it wouldn't be pure.
That's right.
I mean, if there's a problem with this book, then I really don't think, I don't know what the problem is. I mean, seriously, I'm going to figure out if there's problems in this book? Man, no way. I'm not going to do that. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to start picking the things that I like and discarding the things I don't like. Like Hebrews 13:17. Yeah, I'll just take that one right out of there. But you know, God has a word for us. This here is 100% pure. It's for your safety.
Amen.
You know, people think, and people have told me, you just preach too loud, too hard, too hard. Why do you preach so hard? You're gonna hurt people's self-esteem. Really? Self-esteem? Let me help you out with that self-esteem. Look what it says in Romans 7:18. God says, "For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Amen. How's that for your self-esteem?
Yeah, that's right.
In me, no good thing. That's what God says. How's that for self-esteem? Oh, yeah, we think we want to convince ourselves there's something good in us. But God says there's nothing good in you. You want to glory? Oh yeah, we can glory. If there's something good that we do or that God has given us victory over, we glory in God. Yeah, there's room for glorying, but it's all in God. You want to come here and have somebody boost your self-esteem? Well, you can't be reading this book. And you can't be listening to preachers who believe the book. Because your self-esteem is going to go... It's going to sink real low. You know, hard preaching is good. I think God commands it. I asked my niece yesterday, Amanda, the young one. I said, "How'd you like the meeting?" She said, "I didn't think they let you preach that way. You're loud. You're very loud."
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I got into a church that they're loud people. You know? I mean, one of my favorite preachers was Brother Steve. Man, when he was pastoring here, and I remember, Brother Steve, I mean, he's always bouncing around. But man, when he got a hold of a message and it really touched him, man, he's screaming, hopping, yelling. Man, he's just going to town. I like that.
Amen.
That was, man, that's fun. And I think it's biblical. It says over there in Isaiah 58:1, it says, "Cry aloud.
Amen.
Spare not."
Amen.
It says, "Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins."
Amen.
That's what he tells Isaiah. He says, "Lift up your voice like a trumpet and preach it, man. You got to tell them what's wrong. You got to tell them their sins." And because the preacher jumps around and harps on some stuff, don't get that out of your head that he's saying, "You know what? I'm perfect. I'm not perfect. You see a problem in me? Jump on me. Come on. I want to get it right.
Amen.
I want you to tell me. I don't want to be preaching up here like a hypocrite. I want to be right with God too. That's why I love the open meetings. I love the open meetings."
That's
your turn.
That's
your turn. You stand up and you can preach it too. But you know, we also have a word from the Lord of salvation. The Bible says, in John 3, verse 14 and 15, it says, "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life."
Amen.
You know, salvation is by grace, not of works. There's no tricks to salvation. I know. There might be some places that have good ideas about how to get more people in churches. And I think if we tweaked our preaching a little bit, you know, I think if we calmed down a little bit on sin, I think if we did some things a little bit differently, we might get some people to stick around a little bit longer. But we won't be pleasing God. And we won't be fulfilling, I think, what God wants us to fulfill and be a pure church.
That's right.
We need to be living for Him.
Amen.
But hey, there's no tricks. Salvation is believing in God, in Jesus Christ. He died for your sins. That is the word of the Lord.
That's right.
He died for you. He shed His blood for you. You trust in that sacrifice, and you shall be saved.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. There's no tricks about it.
That's right.
I mean, look over there real quickly in 1 Corinthians. Look what it says over here in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Look what it says in verse 21. It says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now look at the verses that follow. For the Jew, here's Paul talking. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." Man, we're reading a book in this passage about a guy who raised the dead. Signs? Man, he could have had lots of signs. This would have been a good spot to say, "Man, you know what? We want to get the folks saved. Let's have signs. We want people saved. Let's just get a bunch of smart guys in here and talk to them intellectually. That's the way to do it." But he didn't say that. He had the power. He had wisdom, man. He had wisdom. This guy was a smart guy. I mean, it wasn't like Peter. It said Peter, man. I mean, he was an unlearned guy. Folks like you and I. But every now and again, God says a pretty smart guy, full of wisdom. And Paul said, "You know what? That's not going to get him saved."
That's right, amen.
Raising the dead, I could do it. Healing, I could do it. We don't have to have healing campaigns. We don't need to put signs outside that says, "You know what? Come tomorrow. And don't forget your $777.77. And you can get healed." Sevens is a real good number. It's not about that. Look what he says. "For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified."
Amen.
That's what he preached. Jesus Christ. That's who we preach. You know what the word of the Lord is? Preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Man, imagine if we were here and all we talked about is ourselves. Man, it'd be a real short sermon in my case. I know, preachers, we like to throw in some things and use some illustrations and you know, funny stories, and you know, thank God that I have some crazy stories in my life. But thank God I try to apply them to something to make sense of what God's saying. You know, if I just stood up here and just had a comedy special, what good is that? Let me tell you, we preach Christ crucified. That's who we preach. Is there a word for the Lord? Is there any word from the Lord? There is. Amen?